أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Surah 21,
Al-Anbiya,
The Prophets, Makkan Period. Title. The title here is not derived from any particular verse of this surah. Rather, the surah is called
Al-Anbiya,
The Prophets, because several prophets are mentioned during the course of it. Even then, the choice of title would seem to be deliberately designed to mark it out from other surahs as opposed to giving an indication of its contents. Period of Revelation. Looking at the theme and style of this surah, it appears that it was revealed in the middle of the Makkan period, which according to our scheme of periodization, equates to the phase of the Prophet's life in Mecca. It does not seem to have been revealed against the background of those severe conditions conspicuous in those surahs revealed during the very last phase of the Prophet's Makkan life. Subject matter. Central to this surah is the ongoing struggle between the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and the leaders of the Quraysh. The revelations herein being a rejoinder to the doubts and objections expressed about the Prophet's claim to messengership and his call to believe in the oneness of God and in the hereafter. Additionally, the unbelievers are denounced for their machinations against the Prophet, peace be upon him. They are also reprimanded for the indifference and apathy with which they greeted the Prophet's call. Finally, they are made to realize that the Prophet, peace be upon him, was not a nuisance, an affliction, but rather represented a blessing for them. The main themes covered in the discourse are as follows. 1. The Makkan unbelievers' misconception that a human being cannot be a messenger of God, and their ensuing rejection of the Prophet, peace be upon him, as one is refuted in great detail. 2. The unbelievers are censured in concise and yet highly forceful terms for proffering different and often contradictory objections against the Prophet, peace be upon him, and for constantly shifting their own standpoint on such questions. 3. The unbelievers view this worldly life as nothing but play and jest. They further believe that life will end without man being held to any account and without him receiving any recompense for his deeds. Since this misconception lay at the very heart of their indifference and apathy to the Prophet's call, it is effectively countered in this surah. 4. Weighty and convincing arguments are put forward to jolt the unbelievers out of their existence on associating others with God in His divinity, and their aversion to the doctrine that there is none but the one true God. Since this was the main bone of contention between the Makkan unbelievers and the Prophet, peace be upon him, this surah sets out a variety of persuasive arguments in support of God's oneness and in opposition to those who associate others with God in His divinity. 5. Although the Makkan unbelievers had repeatedly decried the Prophet, peace be upon him, calling him a liar, they had not been subjected to any divine scourge. This led them to believe that the Prophet's claim to be God's messenger was altogether false and that the threats of divine punishment were all hollow. Part of this surah is devoted to refuting this mistaken notion. 6. A number of incidents from the lives of the prophets are recounted so as to bring home the point that all the messengers raised by God in whatever period of human history were simply human beings, barring those characteristics exclusive to prophets. They were similar to other human beings in all other respects. To be sure, they did not have one iota of a share in God's divinity. On the contrary, whenever they realized that they themselves stood in need of help, they had no other option but to pray to God for His guidance. Two further points regarding the prophets are underscored in this surah. First, although the prophets were subjected to all kinds of hardships and their enemies constantly attempted to hurt and destroy them, God nevertheless always helped them through His extraordinary ways. Second, all the prophets subscribed to a single faith, the same faith that was expounded by the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. This faith is the true faith of humanity, and all other religions represent schisms and dissensions caused by men who have strayed from the truth. In conclusion, it is emphasized that man's salvation lies only in following the way of life expounded by the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Those who follow it will be successful in God's reckoning and judgment in the next life, and they will inherit the earth. Those who reject the way of life expounded by the prophets, however, will face the most tragic consequences of that rejection in the hereafter. God, in His compassion, had informed people of all this through His prophet, peace be upon him, and long before they would necessarily face judgment. How foolish were those who looked upon the prophet as a nuisance, instead of gratefully recognizing God's mercy in sending him to them.